One thing we'd all like to know is who exactly we are. Well, Skip Heitzig says there's only one sure way to find the answer to that.
The best way to answer the question, what is man? Who are we? Is not by speculation or imagination, but by revelation. And here's why. If we begin by imagination, we begin with ourselves, that's our point of reference, build upwardly, outwardly, and eventually we will create God in our image. If we begin by revelation, then we begin with God and we will see man as created in God's image.
I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but few things are quite as frustrating as trying to assemble a child's toy on Christmas Eve without the instructions. Without that plan that shows how all the pieces go together, any effort at building something fun and worthwhile is pretty futile. And so it is with our lives. Without a plan to show how all the pieces come together, it can be fairly frustrating and it can feel extremely futile. Now, fortunately for us, there is a plan for our lives, and it isn't all that hard to find. We'll explore that more with Skip Heitzig today here on The Connection. You know, some people refuse to explore the book of Revelation because they feel it's too difficult to understand. Well, Skip doesn't think that's the case, and this month he wants to help you unfold the secrets of this amazing book. Here's how.
There's one very good reason why you should read the book of Revelation. You know, that's funny because happiness isn't something most people associate with the book of Revelation. Well, Skip Heitzig wants to help you change your perspective with his new book, You Can Understand the Book of Revelation. Discover the meaning of all those signs and symbols, why so much of it is presented symbolically, and most importantly, what it has to do with Jesus and the message of the gospel. Order You Can Understand the Book of Revelation from The Connection on special for just $12 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. The Book of Revelation can make you happy. Yes, you heard that correctly. Find out how with Skip's latest book. Available this month for just $12. Call 1-800-922-1888. Or visit connectionradio.org.
So what is God's plan for your life? A lot of us would like to know that, and we'd like it clearly outlined for us in order to make it easy to follow. Does the Bible do that for us? Well, we'll find out in today's study here on The Connection, so stay tuned.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, which is where we'll start today, as Skip Heitzig gets a bit philosophical.
What is man, they asked. What is man? The study of man is known as anthropology, and there are as many answers to that as there are people, no doubt. Some decide to view man through the lens simply of science, others simply through the lens of philosophy. I suppose if you ask the average secular humanist, what is man, they would give you the scientific answer. The genus and the species, Homo sapien, a product of random evolutionary processes. Mark Twain said, man is a machine. Aristotle said man is a political animal. Ben Franklin called him the tool-making animal. Years before him, philosopher and mathematician, the Frenchman Blaise Pascal, said man is a reed. He is of all things in creation the most flimsy creature that breathes and crawls upon the earth. And going way, way out on a limb, Shirley MacLaine said that man is a reincarnated self with a Christ consciousness. The best way to answer the question, what is man? Who are we? Is not by speculation or imagination, but by revelation. And here's why. If we begin by imagination, we begin with ourselves, that's our point of reference, build upwardly, outwardly, and eventually we will create God in our image. If we begin by revelation, then we begin with God and we will see man as created in God's image. Two very different approaches, two very different results. So, to be truly anthropological, we must be truly theological and decide to see man through the eyes of man's creator, God. So, you've turned to Genesis 1, and we're going to look at that tonight. There's a mistake people make, and I hope none of us make the mistake. It's the mistake that a little eagle made years ago. Once upon a time, a little boy found an eagle's egg and he dropped it in the nest of a prairie chicken. And the eaglet hatched along with the baby chicks. But because all this eagle knew was the life of a prairie chicken, it began to think it was a prairie chicken. It started acting like a prairie chicken. It did all the things prairie chickens do because it thought, after all, it is one. It was raised with one. It clucked and cackled. It scratched the dirt to find insects and seed. It thrashed its wings just a few feet off the ground, flying in little increments, that's all. And one day, when the eagle was very, very old, the whole life has passed, he looks up in the sky and sees a magnificent bird, spread wings, soaring effortlessly. And he says, "What is that?" And the prairie chicken brother said, "That is an eagle, the king of all birds." "Wow," said the eagle. But the prairie chicken said to the eagle, "Don't even give it a second thought. Forget about it." It was a New York chicken. "Forget about it. You could never be one of those." So the eagle died believing it was a prairie chicken. Don't you dare go through life thinking you are a prairie chicken when God has made you the crown of all his creation to soar, to have dominion over all else that God has made. We're going to look at God's creation of mankind tonight, in brief, just to start, and we'll finish more of it next week. But we'll discover something, that God's creation of man includes God's reflection in man for the purpose of God's interaction with man. Let's look at the very first verse of the Bible, God's creation of man. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." But if you go down to verse 26, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." This is the verse of primary reference. This is God's original idea, his original intention. And the Bible says, as we have just read, that God made, created man in his image. That's revelation. But man has strayed from revelation to speculation, imagination. And ask the question, well, what really is man? Who really are we? Why are we here? There's a temple in Greece, the temple of Apollo in Delphi, with that famous inscription that says, "Know thyself." And people go there every year and look at it and go, wow. heavy, man. Know thyself. But how can I know myself? Who am I really? And philosophers have evaluated and cogitated and tried to figure all that out. You know, philosophers, it's been said, are people who don't know what they're talking about. Then they blame it on you. Make it sound like it's your fault. What is man? Who are we? Well, we just read it, but that doesn't agree with what's going on around us. There is speculation as to who we are. Philosophically, even in this country, in this generation, we have to look back to sort of the roots of it all. The classic view of man, the Greco-Roman view. And the classic Greco-Roman view is that man was set apart from everything else because he was a reasoning animal. He had the capacity to reason, to think. And that was his primary attribute that set him apart from everything else. And that is still a philosophy very prevalent today, except it's taken to an incredibly ridiculous extreme to the point that we have made our reasoning supreme. And we are anthropocentric. It's all about us. It's all about anthropos, man, me. You know, sometimes we will sing the song, I'm getting back to the heart of worship because it's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. The humanist would have to say, I'm getting back to the heart of selfishness because it's all about me. It's all about me. The capacity to reason. There are assumptions that these group of philosophers, ancient and modern, have made that are wrong. The first assumption is that man is basically good. They deny there was a fall. We'll see the fall next time we gather. Number two is the false assumption that man is progressing. We're getting better and better with each other. Now, you would think that after two world wars and all the international unrest that we see constantly, that we would quickly get over that way of thinking, but we haven't. Then, along with that classic viewpoint of man, the reasoning animal, there was also part of the ancient Greek thought, it came from the mystery religions of Greece, that saw man as purely mechanical, a machine. Of course, that is still with us too, via the theory of evolution. We are a highly evolved species, but we are evolved and still evolving. A man went to the zoo. He knew the zookeeper, and the zookeeper said, man, you got to check out an orangutan we have. He's unbelievable. He reads. And so the guy went over to the orangutan exhibit, and sure enough, there was that ape standing there with a Bible in one hand, looking at it. And in the other hand, Darwin's Origin of the Species, looking at it. And he looked at one, he looked at the other. And the guy, the visitor said, excuse me, but are you actually reading those books? The orangutan turned and said, well, of course I am. Oh, well, do you understand what you're reading? And the orangutan got a frown on his face. He goes, well, now there is a problem because this book says that I'm my brother's keeper. This book says I'm my keeper's brother. And so I'm confused. I think a lot of people are confused because that way of thinking, both ancient and modern, both classical Greek way of thinking that has spilled over into modern way of thinking, or the mystery religion way of thinking that says we're purely mechanical, led back then, and I believe leads today, to a fatalism. You finally come, if you follow that through, to a, what's the point then of it all? What's the whole point of it all? For instance, the writer of the Iliad, Homer, had Zeus saying, there is nothing, methinks, more piteous than a man of all things that creep and breathe upon the earth. Aristotle said, not to be born is the best thing and death is better than life. So classical Greek philosophy spilled over into modern philosophy basically looked at history and existence with a Solomon kind of an outlook, a vanity, vanity, all is vanity. There's really no point to our existence, to history. But We saw it in verse 26. That's imagination. That's speculation. Here's revelation. God said, let us make man. Let us create man in our image. And so God formed man. Now, right here, we diverge. Right here, we are not anthropocentric. It's not all about us. It's theocentric. It's God. It was His idea. It was His brainchild. And when we see life, mankind, through the lens of God, it's like we go, I see a purpose. I see a reason for existence, a divine reason. Like the little boy who wanted to have a little alone time with dad. And dad wanted to read the paper and just sort of diffuse after a long, hard day. So he tore out of the newspaper, a photograph, a black and white picture of the earth taken from outer space. It was a picture of the world. He tore it up, gave a handful of the bits of paper to the boy and said, put the puzzle together and then come and see me. Well, the boy tried, couldn't figure it out. Brought it back to dad in a handful. Dad had it together in about 45 seconds, taped. The boy said, Dad, how'd you do it? It was so confusing to me. He said, well, son, on the back is a picture of a face. And when I put the face together, especially the eyes and the mouth and the nose, the world came together. And so it is here. When we dare see our existence through the eyes of God, it all makes sense. It all comes together. We see purpose and we see reason. The popular belief today is that you are here as a result of an accident. Doesn't that make you feel really good? Spontaneous biogenesis, or has been sort of reworked, punctuated equilibrium. It's amazing. You are just an accident. But you're a cool accident, but you're an accident nonetheless. You have no real meaning or purpose. Just by chance, amino acids formed, and from them, proteins formed. And that's why every now and then somebody will dare even ask this question. Is it possible that by random chance over X amount of years, you choose the amount of years, life could come into being? That's been asked. One of the foremost studies done at the Wistar Institute in Philadelphia assembled during one summer 50 biologists, mathematicians, thinkers, and they asked that question. Dr. Eden of MIT said, quote, based on our understanding of the laws of chemistry and physics and what we know about randomness, we see no way that the tremendous complexity in life could even come about. Interesting, penetrating statement. Why? Because man cannot be explained simply philosophically. Mankind cannot be explained simply biologically, mechanistically. We must see ourselves biblically. And here it is. God said, let us create us, being the Trinity, obviously. This inter-Trinitarian communication. It's like, I got an idea. Let's make man in our image, after our likeness. Give him dominion over all creation. That's where it began. There were kids that were in a class, and the teacher let them formulate their own worldview, and the kids said that the hope of all civilization lay in the pursuit and the application of scientific knowledge. Did you hear that? The hope of civilization lay in the pursuit of and the application of scientific knowledge. They said in the class, the kids, there's no room for religion. This life is all there is. After this, there's nothingness. And at the end of the class, each of the students wanted from the teacher a reference for yet another college in their future or a job placement. Listen to one of the teacher's response to one of the students. This is how he phrased it. John, student, biological description, John is a living organism. Group, vertebrata. Class, mammalia. Order, primates. Genus, Homo. Species, sapiens. Body structure, organs, tissue, cells, protoplasm. Five organs of sight, taste, touch, sound, and smell. Chemical description, a large quantity of carbon, some gallons of water, various amounts of iron, calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, sulfur, lime, nitrogen, some mineral salts. Psychological description, mind, conscious, unconscious, intellectual, emotional, volitional powers, various instincts. IQ, 130. He continues, I hope John will fit as an admirable unit into the various machines, industrial, commercial, and so on, that make up our scientifically planned society. But, he continues, but, regrettably, I have some serious misgivings about this. For there is something in John that refuses to be cribbed, cabined, and confined, and reaches out to a fulfillment beyond the capacity of a machine-like destiny to supply. In his eager pursuit of scientific knowledge and passionate love of music, as well as in the deep discontent to which he once confessed at his inability to live up to his own ideals, it seems to me that John is on a quest that existence, even in a four-dimensional space-time continuum, can never satisfy. So, okay, I grant you that you are a scientific machine. But I also recognize, said the teacher, that there is a yearning, a longing, a reaching out that accurate scientific descriptions can never fully account for. There's more to you than just that. So to define what it is to be human, you cannot just stop philosophically or scientifically. But you must look to get down to the root of the matter, as we have done and are doing biblically. Why? Because the creation of man by God includes God's reflection in man. Look at it, verse 26. God said, let us make man, notice, in our image, according to our likeness. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, it's mentioned three times, he created him, male and female. He created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth. Every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to every thing that creeps on the earth, in which there is life. God said, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. In other words, God said, I am going to make man unlike any other creature I have ever made before on the earth. Absolutely unique he shall be. Look down in chapter 2 at verse 7. The Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground. It's a bit humbling, isn't it? Oh, we are so great, mankind. Look what we've done. Yep, pretty good for dirt clods. This is humbling. We are at the same time from the lowest stuff and the highest stuff. From dust and dirt, and yet fashioned in the image of God, breathed into by the breath of God.
You know, it's far easier to put something together when you know there's a design and plan for it. It's also far easier to go through life with confidence when you have that same kind of knowledge. Yes, God has a plan for you, and it's a great one. Isn't that nice to know? Now, before we wrap things up for today, I just wanted to mention that if you enjoy listening to these teachings from Skip Heitzig, we have over 1,200 of them available for you to stream over the internet. Now, whether it's a teaching you missed in a past series, or perhaps you're looking for a study on a particular project, you'll find them in our online teaching library. Just visit connectionradio.org/library to browse through what's available. Or if you'd like a copy of the study we went over today, we'd certainly be happy to send you one. It's just $6 for a copy on CD, and you can ask for that just by calling us at 1-800-922-1888. Or pick one up when you visit connectionradio.org. And one other way you can get in touch with us is through the mail. Our address, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And you know, we always love getting letters from our listeners. Well, I think that wraps it up today. So thank you for joining us. And we look forward to hearing from you soon.
And make the connection.
Next time on The Connection, join us for our special First Friday interview as Skip Heitzig goes in studio with Dr. Tim LaHaye, right here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.